Now, good morning, good morning, good morning. And even as Franz had said, you know, it's supposed to be afternoon. I don't feel it's afternoon. It's midday. It's a midday session, guys. And I welcome you to this Wednesday edition of your brand conversation here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And as you had just exited from the Tech Eagle discussion point, you're now in the brand conversation where we look at the world of, well, mostly business and marketing strategy. And also how you can potentially make use of some of these pointers. Now, I call it pointers because it's to help you guide, or not guide, navigate the very volatile business environment that exists out there. I say volatile because, we don't know what could impact your pricing, what could impact your flow, what could impact your inputs, what could impact the types of products that you can stock or sell or even import. We don't know, because everything right now has some sense or some form of uncertainty on it. But coming from said uncertainty, said unclarity with regards to, you know, how the realm of business and international business will look like, you will get some professionals, some business people out there who are perhaps looking at expanding, who are perhaps looking at breaking out into a new market. Now, this new market can either be a totally new one or an online presence. One of the biggest things that has come out from 2020, and I have to say 2020 because I'm indicating to you the year. Although the year is linked in with the COVID pandemic, in that year of 2020, because of the pandemic, the rise of online services, internet-based business approaches, had exploded exponentially. Exploded exponentially because the need had been to take away the in-person sort of like a purchase behavior of customers, and rather give them a do-it-all, a do-it-by-yourself, a DIY, you know, do-it-yourself approach. You give the platform to the customers. It's almost similar, or it's technically the same thing in terms of that our Minister of Health indicated yesterday at the COVID briefing, that digital certificate is a do-it-yourself approach. Now, in this regard, guys, we've recently also looked at, you know, what you can consider for breaking into the African market. And that's on the continent at large, because it's the same approach. It's not similar, but the same. And now we've got to look at these frontiers as well, because within a market, you can also create or expand into a new market. And ultimately, you can also have a supplementary market or a new, a totally new approach to a market by providing an online experience. Now, much of your motivation might come from saturation, market saturation being experienced. Saturation is when you find that there is too many products or too many operators or too many competitors for the same market in the same space, or you might be experiencing a form of declining sales. And that these approaches that I'm going to share with you now can help you guide and navigate some of these perspectives. Because ultimately, it's all about repurposing. Remember, repurposing, readdressing, taking a look once again at what the needs are that you want to offer. Has there been some sort of a deviation? And then just realigning your operations once again. That's a constant sort of like a resetting exercise that you'll have to work on. Now, you might be asking me, Dwight, why are we back on, you know, taking a look at heading into online and new market generation? Well, I'll share with you why. The most important aspect here is that on the African continent, we constantly hear, and that's now coming from universities or tertiary institutions into various business discussions, and even coming from political leadership and, you know, various other spheres of leadership, where everyone is saying, don't just think about Namibia. Don't just think in a Namibian sense. And this once again is the mantra that is indicating that you should rather restructure your perspective. I say restructure. If you have to see me now on the streaming, you'll see me making these gestures with my hand around my head, with in terms of changing your psychological approach. Because the thinking is, the traditional thinking in terms of if you're a business operator, is that you cultivate your market first, locally. You cultivate your market in order so that you can have a trustworthy and loyal consumer base. But now the working is thrown out of the window, and it's more like now look as wide and as broad as possible. Remember, the only thing that is a limitation is the resources that you have at your disposal. Now, when we're taking a look at this approach, we've got to take into accord, or we've got to take into consideration that even if it's online, consider it a new market. Even if it is a totally new market, it's a new market. Even if it's just a further market extension, it's a new market. Now, the most important thing is that you'll have to start with is doing research in order to successfully break into those new frontiers, doing a little bit of research. Now, you would say, well, that's pretty boring. Well, the boring stuff is what leads to the very clear-cut approach that you need. You need the research. You need the information to give you a clear picture of what you're going to be getting into. You need the information. Now, you've transformed your business into a, you know, your business idea. Let's say you've rather transformed your business idea into a fully fledged business by now. And you've also seen some impressive, you know, initial growth in the beginning. That's probably like the first 2 years of business operation. But then you start seeing, or you start experiencing, hints or small signs that a sales pattern is starting to develop. Not a positive one, but one that indicates some sort of stagnation. And the stagnation is sometimes a worrying factor for any business owner. Why? Because you and I, we know that costs, the input costs that come in on the other end, they don't stagnate. They actually increase year on year. They increase year on year. And ultimately, if you're experiencing some form of a stagnation approach or stagnant approach, or just, you know, just a stall happening somewhere in terms of your growth, that relatively is always your earnings or your revenue, you've got to take a new approach. You've got to get the information as to why this is happening and why this might force you to change. Now remember, this has to do with getting into a new market, because ultimately you've gotten used to a specific market and you've gotten used to a specific market's trends. Now remember what I indicated to you with regards to the African market segment. Now sometimes that will lead you, that same approach is what you can couple in with this research approach. The African market approach, which is a continental approach, can help you steer away or expand into the African market based upon this latest, you know, discussion point that I've got here. So what are we looking at? Now, those couple of slower days or slow periods in the month or any sales month is now becoming a little bit more consistent. So you want to avoid this consistent trend, because this consistent trend is not a good trend to work with. And on top of that, one of the best things that you can do is looking at other target markets. Maybe even internationally for that purpose. Now, when things are going well, guys, it's tempting to just be a creature of habit, meaning to test or to rest on the patterns that you've created that have served your business well so far. Now, complacency is, you know, everyone's biggest biggest sin that anyone can commit in the business world, complacency. Now, being complacent means that you won't be able to adjust nor adapt very quickly. That's if the scenario arises in terms of where adoption or adaptation needs to be applied. Now, your goal, obviously, as a business operator, is to persist in the long term as a healthy, stable, mid-size or small business venture. Right. But now it's probably become, you know, a very good household name and other challenges are popping up. Now, the first thing you'll have to look at is how to develop a nimble growth strategy. The key word here is nimble. Being nimble. Now, as you strive ahead, that's now forward and upward, meaning growth is happening. You're continuing with your every year, every financial year. You're constantly making your sales. You're constantly achieving your targets. Customers are happy. Very few snags in the road, meaning things that you can quickly deal with, sort out, and everyone goes away happy, or walks away happy from such, situations. But you are realizing that you're not flexible. Now, the word nimble, guys, has to do with flexibility. Flexibility allows for a quick adoption of new ideas and the quick adaptation of processes to a changing scenario or changing situation. Adoption and adaptation, it factors squarely into the word flexible. Flexibility ultimately is described in the whole phrase of nimbleness, being nimble. Now, success usually comes from the ability to fluidly adjust your business plan to any new opportunity or emerging threat. Remember, new opportunity or emerging threat. A threat, as I indicated to you, can be anything. Under the current scheme, under the current situational analysis that you might have already observed in the country, a threat can almost be anything right now. It can come from a government petrol price hike. It can come from a, let's say, one or other feature coming in that your, let's say, the driver that was bringing in the products that you import from South Africa did not have a digital vaccination certificate. Hence, the chappie couldn't cross over the border. So you are delayed by another week because he has to go back, obtain one, and ultimately also prove that he's either vaccinated or he is COVID negative in order to cross the border into Namibia. Or this could be something else which can also be internal. For example, your some form of negativity has, you know, like public relations negativity has come about your company's brand name or even the product that you are selling to a customer market. But here's the thing. You don't have a fluid approach. You don't have a very nimble approach or a very flexible approach to a threat.
Gusa etokoro lyo hunga. Lipopera nyamoge, popera wakweni. Ninka wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba, oweno urugansi sungumi. Moktura mwe hundiro lye yowamba zuma wakogom, dimo gwanako mapukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kono morozo ye utantantatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura ko Facebook, ko VMMC Namibia.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now we come back from our short break right there, and the fluidity that we ended off in terms of how to be adaptable if you're going to consider expanding into new markets or developing them because of, let's for example say, stagnation came about. Now understand, guys, A new opportunity can help you also adjust. And that also feeds back into the pointers coming from our Monday discussion with regards to if you're looking at breaking out into the African continent or the African market, you might need a different approach from your home market. Your home market being the country that you're from, the country that you first started operating in. Now, ultimately, one way to assess these opportunities and threats always comes from a SWOT analysis. And having thought through all the aspects of your business will be a good foundation for a quality market research and vice versa. Now, understand, guys, this comes from your business plan. Your business plan is your foundational approach when you put your business idea on paper, when you placed it on paper. Now, understand, the first approach that you'll have to look at is to define the problem that your business solves and its goals and your goals associated to your business. Defining what service you will offer, or defining what your service will offer or your product will offer in a new market, as well as your goals, is the best place to start. Remember, if you had to look at the scenario of breaking out into the rest of the continent, the first approach that I shared with you was consider coming in on a low price. Don't come in on a discount. Come in on a low price. And if you're coming in, what should you offer? Stick to necessities. But if you're a company or business that brings in luxurious goods, stick to the luxurious goods. Stick to luxury. Stick to selling luxury. Because there are consumers in the rest of the continent that will absorb, that will buy your luxury goods or your luxury products. Don't sell them on a discount because you might knock the value of or the intended value that a luxury good can offer, or even its status ability, that the associated status aspect that a product can provide if it's in a luxury category. But nonetheless, come in on those three strategies. Never, never come in on a discount. Never come in on a discount. Now, coming from that approach, you've got to understand what problem you will be aiming to solve when you want to head into a new market. What are you trying to solve in a new market? What are you trying to offer in a new market? Understand, if you're breaking out in the rest of the continent and you're looking at necessities, but what need? What need is there that is not being covered in terms of basic needs or necessities? What need is there to cover? What need is there to facilitate for? What need is there to, try and solve? And if it is there, try to find out how your business plan is aligned in trying to get to that need. Because remember, your home market might not be the same as when you head into the rest of the continent. Your home market might not be the same. Now, you've got to understand that this philosophy permeates through to every aspect with regards to any manner of expansion that you wish to apply. I say this is because you have to, it's almost like following the same kind of, sort of like route or way to do something, instructions, instructions or directions for use, almost something like that. In terms of understanding, if every time when you have to expand, consider these following steps or consider these following discussion points. Now, remember, this is within the development of a nimble growth strategy, your growth strategy. Now, you've got to understand from your first point, that's now the definition of the problem that your business aims to solve or what your goals also are. You then lead into the second point, which is researching and collecting data. Now, you've got two aspects to do this on. First one is primary data research and its tactics. The second one is secondary market research and its tactics. Now, if you look at primary is where you are going out there to collect unfiltered. But technically, yeah, if it is processed, then it's unfiltered. If it's not processed, then it is unfiltered technically. But it's raw data that has not been evaluated, that has not been scrutinized or, you know, properly formulated and structured and then monitored or evaluated. It's just raw collection of data. So that means you've got to go get that raw data. You've got to get into consumers. You've got to get into other hubs of information, and you've got to ask them, what is the scenario in this market? If it's locally, usually you would point towards the secondary market research discussion point, because usually you would know where to go for this information. But if it's a new area, let's say you're going into, let's say, Angola, you're expanding into Angola, you would have to look at what is the needs, what is on the ground that is not being sorted or that is not being serviced, or that is still an ongoing but very obvious need that needs to be serviced, to align it obviously with your expansion strategy. Now, when heading into Angola, you will see there's a whole host of characteristics that you will obviously see with your naked eye. There's a language point. There is a different cultural approach. There is a different country size and its demographics. It's probably also has different kinds of approaches to local authorities and other urban areas in that country. And you have to look at the transport aspect. Can you supply on a truck from Namibia into Angola, or do you have to fly things in? Which one is cheaper? That will form part of your primary research. That will form part of your primary research. Those are the questions you'll be looking at. You'll be looking at things already, even though they might be somewhat isolated in their own spheres of discussion point, you'll be looking at each one in its own isolation sense and considering how they all form part of your bigger picture. Because your bigger picture is the expansion. The bigger picture is, how do I get there? Now, understand this, guys. Usually, this has to do with surveys or focus groups. So, when you're going into when you're going to do primary market research, and you don't want to be dependent on someone else's research, which would be secondary research or secondary information, primary is about doing the hard grafting. Going onto the ground, interviewing people. But on that note, we'll quickly step into an ad.
Ushua kokusha oshikwiririmba oshina hepero momunyovye tupeva peyuva. Monao, po Global Parts, tunova ungure ovapuike, odhonongo, nova harupu okukuvatera. Tunovitenda peke vyo vikwiririmba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nui natuwa wedha ovitenda vyo Toyota. Wedhako omanao manene shimuna omaile no Topran. Tuvadha po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts, tukupa onji viro othemba, ohunga, novitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
The following message is an Irongo Red power outage notice. Now, notice is being given by Irongo Red of a power outage to occur at the Omburu Oropoko 22 kV reticulation. Notice is hereby given that the electricity supply will be interrupted on the following date, 16 June, day Thursday, time 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Once again, this is on 16 June 2022, which is Thursday, time 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. This outage will only affect the following customers: AJ Hafele, which is at Vogelsang 1st, 2nd and 3rd Supply, IB Meyer Albrechtshohe, DJ Van Rijn Waldheim, H. Herbst Kansimba Guest Farm, Okundura Soet, FC Leitke Okundura Noord, Kwetu Properties, Wilhelmstal Noord CC, MTC Wilhelmstal Tower, Fear Toulson, Kaliombo Farming, JN Blau Rusoort, HF Vechter Okumutundu, Kansimba Game Lodge, Wilhelmstal Soet Lodge, Plot 8 Wilhelmstal, Wilhelmstal Soet CC, and TN Mobile. The reason for the outage is for Irongo Red to do maintenance. Irongo Red regrets any inconvenience which may result from this outage. Also note, your installation must be regarded as live at all times, as the power supply may be switched on at any time during the above mentioned period.
The first free-range eggs produced and packaged in Ondangwa, Walenga eggs, are now available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shelf life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Mmm, just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a fest for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the Great White.
Now we come back, guys, and where we left off is... your first step in terms of doing research and collecting data in order for you to establishing this nimble expansion or growth strategy is all about whether you're going to make use of primary or secondary research tactics. Now we've done the primary. With primary, it's going to be a lot more tedious, meaning it's going to be a more intense exercise, being that you will have to do this yourself if you choose to do this yourself. You'll have to collect it yourself. You'll have to formulate and evaluate the information or the data that you've collected to process it further into a more readable, more easy to information that you can make an informed decision on. Your second approach is secondary market research. Secondary market research is where you would have to make use of middlemen. Remember back in the African, looking back and in terms of how, if you're going to expand into the rest of the continent, that in some cases, if you want to make use of local distributors, and this is usually based upon the principle of intellectual copyright protection, as well as also copyrights and also any other, you know, protections or laws to do with copyright and even, I almost forgot the phrase. It's known as counterfeit, products and so on, is making use of distributors, because distributors can help you bring your product to a broader, or help distribute your product throughout a very large area. Now, ultimately, these same distributors can form part of your sources for secondary market research. Because ultimately, they will provide you with the information that you will need to see at how quickly or how you can implement said expansion discussion. Now, remember, they also provide you with other connections. For example, if there are any advertising agencies in the area that you wish to also expand in, they would also be one of your first approaches in terms of information and also other discussion points based upon your research, your secondary research. Now, the distributors have their own hub of information, so do ad agencies. Your next one would be based upon looking at other government agencies or even local authority representatives, because they can also help you with other forms of information. For example, laws, tax laws, as well as also other discussion points if you are looking at expanding into a new market. Now, remember, if you're already in a new market and you wish to expand in it, you wish to develop a new market in said market, you would then apply the same approach. Most cases, that is where you would have to look at either the primary or the secondary, just to see, you know, what's the feasibility in terms of expanding within an existing market that you're already operating in. That usually is implied. For example, let's say if you are a car dealership and you are selling one specific brand, but you're now looking at providing a holistic approach. For example, having a tire dealership that sells tires specifically for the brand of cars that you are selling in the market. Now, this provides sort of like not a hybrid approach. It does look like a hybrid approach, but it also looks like you are setting up a sort of like a holistic solutions approach, or providing a holistic approach in terms of solutions, or providing solutions to a market. Because a lot of customers will look at, if this car that you're bringing in does not have, or the specific tire that is being sold for this car is too expensive at independent retailers, you know, it sort of like makes it a little bit of an issue. Even though the car is, you know, very reliable to use, can operate in most climatic conditions, and has probably one of the best, you know, fuel economy based statistics out there, the aspect of, you know, one or other feature usually becomes a telling point for a car owner. And if you provide said service or expansion, let's say selling tires for the specific brand of cars that you are a dealership for, why not? It provides you with an expansion into a different market as well. Now, usually you would then be assessing or basing the decision of establishing that tire dealership on what the other dealerships are already selling. Do they sell it? At what price do they sell it? And how do the customers feel about the pricing for the said tire? Now, you've also got to understand that there are some tire sizes that also are not usually found in your market. And if the car that you're selling, and remember, this is an example, the car that you're selling has an odd or very peculiar tire size, it would give you the best opportunity in terms of trying to alleviate another need or a spin-off need that was generated because of the car itself or the brand itself, in terms of the type of tire size that it sells. I know, guys, not in all cases do we think about the tire size or the tires that we can afford or even can get for the car that we own, because ultimately a tire would be considered almost like an afterthought with regards to its how important it is for your car. But it is very important because it allows the car to actually move forward. And it allows you to stay on the surface of the road. And ultimately, if your car has a very peculiar tire size or wheel size, it does pose a little bit of a headache to you, the customer, or the user of said product, and also to the dealerships, because firstly, you'll have a very peculiar tire size that they cannot carry, that they cannot sell. I'm giving you that because this is just one of the most basic information exercises that I've done with regards to tires in this country. Is even also where you get the opposite. New operators in the tire industry here in the country that bring in tires that is not actually meant for the Namibian market. Now, you can see a reverse picture taking place there. I'm not going to mention the business's name, but I visited a business premises in terms of just finding out or doing some research for my car, because I wanted tires. I wanted new tires. And ultimately, the most important thing that I found out is that these tires are brought in from a different country that is in a different hemisphere of our country, meaning it probably will not have the same kind of climatic conditions that our country has. And even though these tires can be similar in size and they can be fitted on your car, the ultimate thing is that unfortunately, the tires are not meant for Namibia's climate. One such example, and I know some of you have heard of this, is where snow tires have been sold in Namibia. Snow tires is meant only for an area if it snows in an area, meaning it's only applicable also just for that specific segment of your year. Just that one segment of your year, when it's winter and when it snows in your winter. Now, Namibia, we don't have snow. We do not have condensation during our winter, because snow is a form of condensation. No, sorry, not condensation. It's a form of precipitation. Form of precipitation, meaning it's almost like rainfall. Now, ultimately, that will point to you that the marketing research behind there is not as sound as what it looked like, because selling a marketing incompatible product or an incompatible aspect does somewhat defeat the means or the notion of providing a solution to your customers. Remember, the whole reason why you are in operation as a business is because there was a need. And the aim of your business is to facilitate and solve that need. Now, when you're solving the need and you're providing an incompatible product, it presents a problematic scenario springing up. And the problematic scenario is that, unfortunately, well, you guessed it, you will have customers being on a tire that is not compatible for the country that ultimately will feature in as some form of a cost to the customer. Now remember guys, your secondary market research will be based upon this. What you can further offer. And I gave you the little example, the little anecdote of such an approach in terms of when you have to look at how your product, your new expansion, your new product, your new service, this is now related to expanding. And the expansion has to fit into the very nimble and flexible or fluid application of your business plan that can cater for said fluidity, for said nimbleness, for said flexibility in order for you to quickly adapt and adopt new ways of operating or quickly adopt or adapt in a new market sense. Now, understand also, guys, you can also consider a market or an industry benchmark or acquiring industry benchmark data. Industry benchmark data, and this is especially if you are considering international expansions, meaning going, not just on the continent, but also other parts of the world, is if you want to know how your business compares to the competition. Now, a benchmark is an industry standard, or benchmarks are based upon industry standards. And this forms part of your secondary market research. Remember this. And they also form part of some form of guideline. Now, for these, and these are, key indicators for financial metrics. So basically, they represent the average of key numbers that are collected from many different businesses and then sorted by the industry itself. So if you want to understand how your business competes or, stacks up against the rest of the industry that it operates within, an industry benchmark platform would work.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now we come back from where we ended off, and the important thing is, when you've done your secondary market research, or your primary, whichever one, it's important that you don't drown in the research that you've collected or the data that you've collected. Please don't drown in it. Don't sit there wondering what you're going to do with it or misunderstanding the interpretations that you'll derive from your research. No. What you've got to do is, first and foremost, that you've got to organize everything properly. Don't derive anything, just organize the information that you've got. Remember, this research forms part of the motivation to expand into a new market or to develop a new market. From there, after you've organized, deepen your research using preliminary findings. So if you've properly outlined everything, arranged everything, seen what it represents in terms of the questions that you asked or the main the main need or the main problem that you identified and how these questions then form into that problem. Remember, when you have to do research, for that's for anyone that has done some form of research on tertiary level, they always say you've got to have a problem statement, and then you've got to have a problem, and then from that it has to be dissected or branched out into your hypotheses. Your hypothesis or your hypothesis statement is usually your problem statement, because it's derived from there, meaning you have a scenario that you've identified saying, let's say Dwight does not eat salt. Then your second hypothesis, then that first hypothesis, which is known as hypothesis zero, should branch out into an opposite spectrum or an opposite picture, meaning that Dwight does eat salt, which would be hypothesis one. Now, usually in research, you've got to have a hypothesis, meaning a statement that says this scenario exists. And you've either got to approve or disapprove said scenario. And this is what your market research has to look at. Do that. I know it sounds technical, but this is how it helps you as a business person formulate the most clear, most direct strategy that you can find. And it is born out of the data or the information that you collected. It's born out of that. Now, from there, deepen your research using your preliminary findings. So your company has set its sights on a specific demographic, an industry, or a country even. Now is the time for more in-depth research. It also pays to document every part of your process clearly. Ensure that you know where perhaps any problems arose, or if you could see where you can, you know, change something small to see if there's a different outcome. And that's also for you to see whether you can come back and reuse or refine your process again if you decide to tackle a different market again. Remember, it's about taking said same instructions or directions and then reapplying them if you have to expand again. Now, your preliminary research then should be different from your in-depth study, and you have a few options here, but you've also got to understand that you can use a mixture of tools that tends to work better than just using one tool. Now, let's understand also, guys, that there's no better way to do this than visiting and interacting with your new audience or your new market or your new customers or your new consumers. There's no better way. Try to talk to them. Contact them directly. If it's in a new country, the best recommendation that academics or specialists, marketing specialists say, is that you travel to that area. Go travel there. Go see what it looks like. And at least go there twice before you set up. Go there twice to see what the situation looks like. It's not just about reading articles on the said territory if it's now a new country, or, for example, if it's in a different part of the country and you have to develop a new market, or let's say you're just opening up a new storefront. Go and see the place twice at least, or three times, or four times, just for you to get a sense, you know, and every time in a different time period of a year even. Now, if it's in a new country, remember, try to go there at least twice. This will allow you to plan ahead and to fill your time also productively, for you to see what you can do, who you can talk to, and what you're trying to extract from this experience. You've also got to understand when you are trying to provide depth to your research, right? This is now for the expansion process. Make contacts in that new industry or in that new market. Make contacts. This can be governmental. This can be competitors. This can be ad agencies, facilitators. I call them facilitators because they provide you with a facilitation function. This can be distributors. This can be all these role players. This can be associations for that matter. This can be competition commissions even. Make contacts, because it will help you to have a structure of a market, have a picture of an industry, to have an idea what the situation looks like in that other place. Remember, sometimes you don't live there and you are dependent on information from there. Remember that. You don't live there. And it's to help you make informed decisions on what you need to apply, what you need to do, where you need to go, who you need to talk to, how they will factor into your expansion plans, how they will approach, how they will provide you the necessary tools in order to approach a new market. It's based on all of that. Now, from there, right? From there, from the deepening your research, you then head into the next scenario. And this is the key one before we end on today's discussion. This is the key one. Learn about your competitors. Learn about them. Learn your competitors. Guys, observation is one of the most powerful research tools you can do or you can use. Chances are that there's already going to be an established company that you'll be competing with during your period that you're going to be operating in that market, and also when you decide to expand as well. Now, this is where competitor analysis is essential. Now, we've already covered competitor analysis here on the Brand Conversation, but a competitor analysis is something that is not a once-off exercise. It is consistently there. It is always there, and it will always be applied. Every day that you are in business, you will have to know what your competition is doing. Every day. Every day. You've got to know what they're doing. You've got to see what they're doing. You've got to observe what they're doing. Now, you can learn a lot by keeping a close eye on your competitors or your potential competitors, seeing what they do well and what they don't. Perhaps you can also come in and do something better that they've tried, but you're just doing it better. Now, understand that you've got to map this out on a competitive matrix to understand how you can compare and to identify your competitors' vulnerabilities and strengths. Now, remember, when you're taking a look at your competitor analysis, ask these following questions. The common questions that you've got to ask yourself about your competitors that need to be answered. What is their range of products or services? So you're looking at product depth and product width. Product depth and product width. How many they can offer, how deep they can offer it. What is their target audience compared to mine? So, you've got to look at, when you have some form of marketing strategy or communication strategy, how wide and to who are they targeting? What are the positives and negatives from the point of view of their consumers? So that has to do with, are there any issues that the consumers are bringing up? Are there? What is their competitive advantage? Yes, what is their competitive advantage? What makes them stay for so long in the market that you want to operate within? What distinguishes their services, their product offering from that of the next competitor or the next operator? What is their marketing and promotional strategy? Exactly. What percentage of the market share do they control? And what is their company structure like? Are they growing? Are they expanding? Are they stagnating somewhere? Look at those things. Now, the most important tool mentioned just before those questions that I asked that you've got to consider always when observing your competitors is a question of how to use a competitive matrix to explain your position in a market. Now, a competitive matrix is important for a business plan for several reasons. First, it's a great input strategy, and it helps you to look ahead. Second, it can develop and explain positioning. Positioning has also to do with segmentation. Thirdly, it's one of the most obvious strategic visuals that business plan readers also expect. That's not for someone like partners and investors want to buy in. They want to see something like this. Also, it's a mainstay in a presentation, a business plan, and also a product development strategy, and also in marketing messaging. And that's for you to think about advertising as well. So, just like that, it helps you to identify the whole scenario. Now, ultimately, as we end up with our discussion point, here on today's brand conversation, there's one key message I'm going to leave you with at the end of today's discussion. When you are looking at expanding or growing, it's okay to make mistakes. But those mistakes are crucial for you to adjust in. They are crucial in the adjustment, the adoption, the adaptation, the flexibility, the nimbleness, the fleet-footedness. Well, I can use all the adjectives that I can find, or the hyperbole that I can find, in order for you to understand that your business operations or your business plan has to sound or has to give you a message of being fleet-footed. Now, right there, you won't get it perfect. You won't get the exercise perfectly getting off from the first time. There will be some stumblings. There will be some, you know, grogginess. There will be some, understanding how stable this boat actually is. But you'll get there. And probably not even on the third try. The fourth or even the tenth time. Understand this, guys. Each country is different. Or each market that you expand into is different. So prepare to bumble along at times. Remember that each mistake is the opportunity for new learning. And if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying hard enough. Remember that. So, on that notion, let's see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow. And understand, when you're considering heading into a new market, it can either be a new physical market or it can be online. These are some of the approaches that you'll have to look at. These are some of the, just sort of like pointers, the directions or guidelines that you'll have to factor in. In most cases, you won't go and be on the ground in terms of collecting raw primary data. Remember, I said it'll be a tedious exercise. Tedious being it'll take a lot of time. It will sometimes take resources, which includes money, hiring temporary researchers in order for you to collect said data, or even if you are, if your business is in the function of using technology or technological tools, use them. But remember, they will still cost money at some point. But on that notion, let's see each other again later tonight. Stay tuned as the On The Radar team are ready to grace us with their presence in terms of also bringing us the latest discussion points for today's bulletin, and also bringing you up to date and up to speed with the latest happenings in current affairs. On that notion also, as mentioned, stay tuned as the rest of your programming continues here on this lovely Wednesday on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And you can see me later on tonight at 6:30. That is for your business and economic zone here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.
On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1. to 2:30.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay.
LelaPay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on LelaPay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download LelaPay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message. Type it out and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, LelaPay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. LelaPay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.